How you doing? This is Dan DiDio. No, not really, but you're listening to the 24-hour comic podcast. I would have called it 52, but we're using that number, so just count down with me until we get to the last hour.
The board.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's.
I am the Mixed Master General.
Hey, you hooked up your turntable so you can scratch.
Yeah,
during
I'm, just, I'm getting down. We're doing it old school here.
Can anybody get me a beer for this?
Hank, I am not your maid.
Hank is too young to touch beer. Don't have Hank. Okay. We're going to expose him early. And later we'll expose ourselves to him early.
This is going to a very illegal place very quickly.
Well, this is suddenly
the officers of the law. There's a fridge behind the counter.
Yeah. Any officers of the law out there that hear that, just want
to... Have we begun?
Yeah, we're on.
People got to hear you order around a kid.
16-year-old.
There's a 16-year-old hanging out with us. He's our beer go-getter.
I've yet to. Are we doing guilty pleasures?
Yeah, Hank is our guilty pleasure.
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
I get pedophilic when I drink.
Oh, my God.
This show is... Thank you, sir. Shit. Thank you, sir.
Hank, if you drop your keys, kick them home. That's all I'm going to tell you, buddy.
Dude, Hank, run. Jesus. He looks like Shia LaBeouf. Look at him. He's adorable.
We've all said that.
I know, but not online.
And you look like Seth Rogen, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'll be a scandal.
Jesus. Dial 9 and then 1, and when I say so, dial 1 again.
All right, so this is when the actual the whole 24-hour podcast actually starts, right? Right here?
No,
with me?
It's been started.
10
hours.
No, it's good here. No.
We're not editing. I don't
practice is over, guys.
Here.
Yeah.
This is the real deal.
All right, now we start recording.
Hand me that whiteboard right there.
Joy!
I'll pull that on over here.
All right.
Hey, what's going on?
This is the cord pulling section of the
computer. No, this side.
Oh, that way.
It won't. It's not going to reach. Pull it out that way.
It's fine. What is this?
Now he has to pull it out that way.
Pull on it. Pull on it harder. Keep pulling on it. Don't stop pulling.
Morning
Zoo
crew.
We went from talking about touch a 16-year-old to hear him pull it. Pull it.
And they're both related.
Why did you drive down here?
Charlie Rose. I don't know. I didn't know. This is history in the making. This is history in the making.
It's something.
Yeah.
Not all history's good.
Not all history. That is a good point.
That's true.
Victory. The winners write history. So we'll see at the end of this who
wins. But actually, this has actually been like... Oh, first of all, hello, planet. Welcome to the 24-hour podcast.
This is the 10th hour.
This is the 10th hour.
Yes.
And for many of you... The last hour. yeah, this is fun. This is actually a cool environment. I'm realizing now why I never collected comics. I'm such a movie freak. If I was to start collecting comics, Jesus Christ. I just like the art. There's so many boobs and vaginas.
Oh, geez, you're
right. That's virgin, it says. But no, this is great. This is a great environment to do this in. So let's talk movies.
You weren't thrilled about this when you heard that we were doing it in the comic book store. You weren't thrilled about that. You thought it was all going to be on a couch and we were just going to watch movies.
Yeah, I thought
movies.
We were going to sit and watch movies and hang out
Blood
and
Rain
be
two.
Goofy.
Blood Rain 2.
Who picked that?
This guy did.
Hi!
He hates us.
No.
Trying to torture us?
So, just before we, I guess, start this segment, everybody get their copies of Blood Rain 2 up and ready.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that pretty soon.
I would like to see the numbers of the rental numbers.
It's like Netflix.
Blood Rain 2 suddenly went up 300% in rentals on Saturday. But at 9-ish, probably 10-ish your time.
10-ish.
10-ish. 10-ish. We will begin.
Are you ahead?
No, we're going to be responsible for there being a Blood Rain 3, 4, 5, and 6.
No, there's already
the rental.
People love our movie. Yeah. People, I'm talented.
It was like,
Huey
it was like a sleeper hit.
Huey Bull's like, I did it right finally. Finally. I boxed enough critics to
be
respect. yeah, so get Blood Rain 2 ready in 2 hours. Go upstairs, grab your mom's. Have them come down and watch them with you.
So what are we talking about now? Last time we talked about movies. So, I mean, I don't know what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, because you only talk about movies once.
Yeah, well.
Once a month.
With you, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd like to talk with Scotty and all these other folks about movies. Everyone watches movies.
Yeah. Scotty doesn't have any opinions. I don't know
Scotty
if you've
has,
met him before.
Scotty has more opinions than Bill O'Reilly at a gay rally. So. It sucks that you didn't put a microphone out in the smoke deck because we've had
we've had some crazy conversations.
Like we got to deal with that kind of my technical crap.
No, yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
But either way, I don't know how I can talk about movies for 2 hours. I guess
we don't have to do it for 2 hours. We've got to do a trivia game here pretty soon.
Well, you were asking about outside guilty pleasure movies.
I thought a good place to think was start is like ask everybody here that has microphone access to talk about their guilty pleasure movies that no matter what other people say, they still love.
Yeah. Mine's Notting Hill.
And I agreed with that. I mean, like, yeah. I don't think it's a guilty
a
pleasure
movie,
because it's not a bad movie.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not. I mean, a lot of people would call me a sissy for liking it, but no. I'm glad to hear a couple other people really like it.
The thing is, like, all British romantic comedies are for men.
No, but
they
are.
They are. They're
dry and they're not.
Dry and lots of nudity. Female nudity.
Yeah.
Sometimes male nudity.
You put it in, like, your top. Five movies of
ten,
all time.
Top ten.
It's
ten.
A good movie.
No, it is a good
okay,
movie.
Okay, I'll move to Guilty Pleasure.
Oh, top ten
I'll move
all
my
time,
Guilty
though.
Pleasure then to Serendipity with John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale.
So are we still in the comic book queer section? I don't know what's going on with Serendipity. This guy here.
Oh, hey, let's talk about
I'm just teasing.
Let's talk about our Guilty Pleasure.
I've never seen
me a fag.
It. I've never seen it. I didn't use that word. I didn't use that word. I used the word they use in their title.
No.
It's self-referential. All right, whatever. I haven't seen Serendipity. I've seen Notting Hill. I enjoy Notting Hill.
Oh. You would have way better taste in shoes. No
I have these sandals that smell like my grandma's dead ass.
Thong sandals. Okay.
Right. Spoken. Wait, you know okay. what your grandma's so dead ass smells like.
No, I'd assume. All right. But Serendipity, I haven't seen yet. I will. It's Kate Beckinsale.
What's
John
your guilty Kisa. Pleasure?
It's hard to say because like I actually have OCD with movies.
Yeah, so we know this.
Like I said, you know I have five cues, 500 each, 500 movies each, and they stop.
That's useful, by the way. Having that many cues.
Well, no, it is, but like now I'm out of movies and I can't add new movies. But I just let my cues run their course and all these movies that I added like 4 or 5 years ago, so I just let them come and because I'm like I'll watch anything. And I'll pretty much enjoy just about anything.
Sure.
So you have five separate Netflix accounts?
No, you can have up to five different queues. Like, if say you have a father, mother, daughter, and whatever, you have your Hannah Montanas and a whole queue and all your whatever. But, so I watch just about anything. So, like, guilty pleasures are hard for me because, like, I try to find something enjoyable in just about any movie.
Well,
no
I know, but a guilty pleasure is something that obviously you're going to enjoy, but other people would make fun of you for enjoying.
My default guilty pleasures is this movie called Drive. With
Mark Dacascos.
Mark Dacascos and Kadeem Hardison.
Wayne.
Kadeem Hardison, directed by Steve Wang, the guy's actor's name or the director's name, and it's a shitty ass story.
I
but
love
like,
that movie too.
Probably some of the best action scenes you've seen in a theatrical or directed video.
Ridiculous, but
absolutely ridiculous.
It's got the craziest ass what's her face
from
Sin City and
Alicia Silverstone.
The crazy one,
the 8 Mile chick.
Brittany Murphy.
At her craziest, because she's playing a crazy
person. Absolutely bizarre.
She's insane in that movie.
So, I have the director's cut that I ordered from Britain, and I have, like, the regular version. It was a company called Apex that released it that are now defunct. But I call it a guilty pleasure just because nobody else has seen it. But if you put it in Netflix queue, if it's available, anyone who watches it, I guarantee you're going to love it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you're going to love it.
Well,
it's a
really
movie that should have made Mark Dacascos
a guilty.
This is the worst segment I've ever heard.
Yeah, you're really defeating your whole question of guilty pleasure because, A, you're naming a movie that nobody's heard of or seen, so nobody actually makes fun of you for liking it. And you're saying that if everybody watches it, they will love it.
But it's such a it's not a good movie.
Mm.
That's the thing. It's not a good movie.
Like, a guilty pleasure for me would be, like, somebody who loves to put in Daredevil and watch it over and over.
I have both versions of Daredevil.
Well, I do too, but
I think it's an okay movie. But you know,
that's a good guilty pleasure.
But that's one of those
really, it's actually shit.
It's okay. Actually, Ghost Rider actually made me hate Daredevil.
Ghost Rider made me hate life.
No.
You want some beans?
When I saw, I'm like, oh, it's from the director of Daredevil. This guy loves comics. It should be good. And I saw, and then he was talking it up like, oh, this is I really like how it's turned out. And then when it came out, I'm like, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was just
you want some beans?
Yeah.
Whoever's fucking idea that was.
That was Nicolas Cage's idea, and that was the one thing I liked about the movie.
The beans?
Yes. How about a drink of martini glass?
I liked you all day,
Tabor.
I liked you all day. I thought we were getting along so well.
It's a guilty pleasure moment.
It is. That is
like the only pleasure I can get when I see any Nicolas Cage movie.
Bad Boys 2.
The only pleasure I get from it.
Oh God, I'll make fun of you for that one.
The Family Man?
Yes.
It was okay.
Love the Family
Man.
But
I'm just saying, with any Nicolas Cage movie, like including the movie Next, which just came out on DVD. Rent Next. Ultimate guilty pleasure. It's just it's the stupidest fucking movie you've seen, like, for 90 minutes. But it takes its premise and just runs with it for 90 right. minutes. And you can't fault it.
You can't say that about every Nicolas Cage movie, can you?
Raising Firebirds? Arizona? No. What's that?
Raising
Firebirds.
Arizona?
Firebirds.
No. Raising Arizona. No, I like Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I like Nicolas Cage. But, like, lately he's just like... It's a paycheck. I'll take a paycheck.
Yeah.
So
guys got to get paid.
I love Family Man. I'm a fan of Family Man.
That's, which one is that?
Brett Ratner's only good movie.
With
rich guy.
Oh, and he wakes up and he's got.
And
you know,
high school what was? What did we decide? What was her name?
Clarify. I liked Weatherman.
Weatherman
was awesome.
Weatherman
I love
is
Weatherman.
One of the most underrated movies of.
Yeah, that's because I got to tell you what is with Weatherman. They advertising it all wrong. Like I thought it was going to be a completely different movie. I popped in that movie and it's like it is.
Yeah.
It's like it's
from the director of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and that's what's even more impressive.
That doesn't. Yeah, that's
good example of a movie that made me stop watching trailers.
Yeah.
I felt this way, whether people liked Jersey Girl or not, I felt like they
look like a J-Lo, Ben Affleck movie.
Well, even then after that, they tried to make it look like this super romantic comedy, right. Which it absolutely had nothing to do with. And it was a good film about family and fathers and sons and fathers and daughters or whatever, but... those are kind of movies that made me decide to stop reading the back of it. Stop listening to anybody try to tell me what the movie's... Because, like you were saying, The Weatherman, when you watch that trailer, you really think that that is going to be a movie so far away from what it actually became.
Right.
And that you can't help but let that affect you a little bit when you're watching it. Because you're going in waiting for... Almost like, for me, with Weatherman, when I saw the trailers, I'm going through the movie watching going, why is... When's the thing going to happen? Like, you're almost waiting for a change. Like, this is a weird movie, but I know a change is coming because I've seen the trailer. And then it doesn't. It stays the movie that it is. So I spend half the movie wondering, is this going to be, like, two separate style of movies? Or I don't know.
Well, with Weatherman, like, I guess I distanced myself enough from it. You see the trailer before it hits the theater. I didn't get to see it in the theater. I missed it that week. And then when it came out on DVD and you finally see it, your distance is, you know, right. you're kind of watching it more fresh. Right. And at that point, I was just, like, enjoying it, not from my expectations, but from what,
I think until we watched a few TV shows that kind of showed the making of movies, I didn't realize how much sometimes going into making film, do they know really how to classify the movie? Because I've seen enough of those shows where they're like, okay, we've shot all these scenes. Now we have all these scenes. Is this a comedy? Is this a drama? Is it, you know what I mean? Like,
and
sometimes
that's like,
we have to classify it as something.
Well, that's the biggest obstacle that, you know, studios face with movies like that. It's like they need to have a simple classification to market it.
Right.
You know, and it's if a movie like that, you can't market it. That's what I blame the failure on the movie. 100%.
Right.
Filmed in Chicago, by the way. Everyone, mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. But I rented that movie. Like you, I rented it, but I was actually I got it because I hardly ever see movies. But I was at home at my parents' house, and we're like, well, you know, my mom always gets depressed when we get serious movies or anything that's might be slightly depressing. This one looks funny, Weatherman. You know, where he gets hit with the drinks, and he's got a crossbow and stuff, or whatever.
He's killing pedestrians.
That's hilarious,
it's
right?
Grand
and
Theft
we rented.
Cage.
And my mom was like,
she pulled
I'm
out
so
the razor
depressed.
Blade.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry. It's like, this movie is too much like real life. Sorry.
What is it?
Twin Peaks
gotta
Fire Walker.
That's not a guilty pleasure.
Well, now we can't hear that mic. That mic's.
I think everybody liked.
Did we hear that? Did we capture that?
No, we can't.
Here, I don't even remember it.
Sal.
Wait.
You've pulled the mic, the cable out of the mic. You can't hear it.
Oh, turn it on.
Oh, there we go. Twin Peaks Firewalk with me. That's a guilty pleasure.
I never watched Twin Peaks when
it
was on,
I hate that.
But I saw Twin Peaks Firewalk with me, and I enjoyed it. And I was 13. Who's, and like I was, I'm a huge David Lynch fan.
Casey's
Lynch.
Just a fan of.
I think that guy's
midgets.
Been robbing Hollywood for decades.
No,
he hasn't made a friggin' film that's like David Lynch.
I hate David Lynch.
I disagree. Like for David Lynch has a house in Madison. I've seen him in person.
Well, he must be a good filmmaker.
He is, and he's a genius.
say so.
No, I've enjoyed all David Lynch. David
what was
Lynch,
the last one he did?
I owe David. Okay, I wrote the screenplay called Snail Boy in my screenplay class about a kid with a snail shell on his back. And it,
great
and,
idea.
And the
Golden.
Genesis, and you know what, man? Shut the fuck up. The genesis of it came from after seeing Eraserhead for the first time in like eighth grade. Mm. After I saw Eraserhead, I was just like, oh, how does that come out of a human's head? And I was like, what's the most fucked up thing I can come up with? And I came up with like, how about snail sperm that impregnates a girl, and like when she's pregnant, it's like a spiral in her belly. So this came from. Here's the thing. I wrote this movie. I wrote this movie, a 40-page screenplay. That for my screenplay class, it got picked to be made into a short film by Stuart Gordon, director of Reanimator.
I swear to God,
knows,
if you say his name one more time,
without
my head's going to explode.
Without David Lynch, I would never have met Stuart Gordon and have the success that I have now. I would not be here.
I would not be on podcasts.
I'd not be paid $13 an hour to appear here. No.
yeah, I'm just not a fan.
That's fine. That's all right.
So,
who are you a fan of then, Sal?
Director-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I have no opinion of anything. Well, except David Lynch sucks.
David Lynch does suck.
I only know what I hate, not what I like.
How many beers have you? You are very sassy all of a sudden.
Yeah, the sparks, man. It sparks my anger.
God.
If you really want interactive experience, drink a case of sparks.
The biggest problem I have with David Lynch is that
he makes no sense, and I don't want to think when I watch movies.
Well, I think plenty when I watch movies. I don't have a problem with that, but it's thinking about something that is nothing, that is not a story, is just...
No.
I mean, look at Mulholland, that piece of shit.
Mulholland Drive.
Which was actually a decent film up until the point where he didn't know where to go with it. That was originally going to be a TV show.
Right,
he lost
right.
funding for it, so then he just put it all together to try and make a movie out of it.
And it was awesome.
It was horrible. I mean, it was good to begin with, and then it got to a point where it made no sense. It's no longer any type of story. I mean, I understand your point of view of, like, creativity and him just bursting forth with something out of his head is like Eraserhead, but Eraserhead isn't any type of story. So
just for
my personal opinion,
right.
why I don't like the man is because I don't think he tells any type of stories. I like.
Have you seen Blue Velvet though?
Sure.
That's
absolutely.
Actually a story.
It is a story. It's not a
characters.
Good one.
Oh, you don't like Blue Velvet?
I like Blue Velvet. I mean, it's okay, but I wouldn't call it.
I'm scaring you.
I think
I hate Blue Velvet. It's good. But,
no, I don't hate Blue Velvet. I think it's okay, but I think he's overrated because people look at his weirdness and go, oh, he's genius.
Well, he is a genius.
Well,
I think it's hard to quantify that. It takes a certain person to, like, actually...
Just because you like it doesn't make him a genius.
No, not just because I like it. I understand where you're... I understand where you're coming from. It's just, like, he can channel that into the medium... And
he's not.
He doesn't want to do any commentary tracks. He wants everyone to come up with their own opinions.
Yeah, that would just,
so, like,
that would just
at the end
like,
of a movie, when you say, well, that was fucking dumb. That's my opinion.
Well,
thanks, David.
God
Lynch.
Forbid.
He's like, I came up with the ending myself. It's stupid.
You know what? You know what? What would happen if David Lynch did his own commentary tracks is it'd crush all the little fanboys' dreams of what he really is.
Because
right.
he'd do a commentary track for a movie that we're not even watching.
He'd go, you want to know what I was thinking during this? Wasn't. Accident happened with the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I kept it.
And for 20 years, everybody thinks I'm a filmatic genius.
I don't know. Well, I haven't seen...
I mean, certainly, creativity-wise, he has certain... But
right.
He
has some...
But
it's
he's
admirable.
Not channeling that into anything
is,
that
the difference
is
he might have something to say, whether it be visually or story. But whether or not that is genius is, I mean, it's one of those unqualifiable statements.
Well, yeah.
Right, right.
Because it can only, depending on a person's taste, that's where it has to stop. I mean...
Well, I think it can also be said for how much, it's not just those individuals' taste, but it's like, how successful is he at it? Is he, you know, are there people who can recognize it? Are there those who appreciate it? You know,
it's true. It's
like
people who try to imitate him.
People try to do
similar things to it. They call it Lynchian. You know,
yeah,
it's like
exactly.
people trying to
when
imitate.
People start doing
yeah,
that. That's a sign of that you've got something.
It's
going.
A unique style. It's recognized.
Even if you don't
you
like the stuff, other people are imitating
that.
It.
Yeah,
and you
yeah,
know
yeah,
he's got something.
Yeah. So I guess my point is that I admire someone who's trying to do something different, like
sure.
that, you know, and at some point it's like, okay, I won't make a movie like that, but he's doing something like that. So how can we take something like this and use it in a mainstream format, you know? And, like, there's a few movies that actually use, like, this kind of bizarre.
I just like how people think how it's so weird, everything that he does.
Yeah.
I went to art school and I went to the film school at the art school. So, like, I watched that and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of weird. But you should
see some
of the
group of
whacked
out
people.
On the other hand,
Dave,
you are an extremely messed up person.
I am. It's true. You're absolutely
weird,
right about
normal
that.
You are.
You know what Lynch did? Lynch did the Dune movie.
Yeah,
right?
But
that was one of the movies I remember because, well, for one thing, they marketed it like it was going to be the next Star Wars. So you bring a kid in there, and the kid's like scarred for life, like me.
Why is Sting flying?
Why is Sting flying? That's the least of the problems. But I watched that and remember, and I watched it. I watched all two or something.
Visually,
else,
visually arresting. It's visually.
Oh, it's awesome. That's the only thing that makes you watch it.
But a lot of
like,
movies can do that. Like I'll take the visual style over.
But I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm going, this is weird. It's obvious from the get go. That's one of his most mainstream kind of movies.
I think you can be sort of experimental and groundbreaking and weird and not necessarily have to be completely
bizarre.
Well, isn't the more groundbreaking you are, the less people are going to get it? I don't think so. I mean, look at Stanley Kubrick.
You know who I'd
Kubrick filmmaker I'd
kill
as groundbreaking
as you
can.
Scotty has an opinion.
You know who I would kill if I saw walking down the street? Gus Van Sant.
There's a lot of people who hate it.
I'd murder Gus Van Sant.
Well, certainly, okay, I'm not saying everyone has to enjoy it, but
no over-talking.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so Scotty said he'd kill Gus Van Sant.
Oh, God. I'd choke that man.
I said a filmmaker that I would murder if I saw him walking
down
the street.
You know what? I would.
Because his movies fucking suck.
They're not movies. They shouldn't even be captured on.
Have I traveled to the rural south?
When I popped an elephant and I watched someone's shoes walk for 15 minutes.
I thought it was angry. I have the trilogy.
What part exactly?
I have Jerry, I have Elephant, and I have Last Days.
Oh,
it's a great
Last Days.
It's a trilogy of minimalism.
Of
man.
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
No. You know what? Only dim
yeah,
people.
Done with the segment.
Only people that don't want to think about
just
things.
Just because we're not talking about Notting Hill. You got to get the other side of the coin.
I can appreciate everything from Star Wars to Gus Van Sant movies to fucking David Lynch to, like, this is stuff, like, I absorb. Like, I'm trying to absorb this stuff. Like,
you don't have to appreciate everything.
Yeah, I don't. I don't appreciate.
You don't have to like everything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm not
What's
saying
a movie
you do?
That you absolutely hate?
Fuck did I hate recently? Oh, I hate a Ghost Rider, but that's like this year. That's the movie I fucking hate it. Yeah, but it's too easy. But it's also it's a movie that made over $100 million.
Because we've
deferred on.
I mean, we've deferred on movies before that I think are great, and you think that they're awful.
Like
Mean Guns.
Mean Guns.
I love
directed
that movie.
By Albert Pyun, who was the Uwe Boll of his day. Okay.
The only reason
that Albert Pyun is not known by more people is because he didn't beat up his critics in The Ring.
That's true.
That's the only reason. That's the only difference between the two. Okay.
I like that movie.
Mean Guns is retarded.
It's Christopher Lambert and
I'll watch it now.
Christopher Lambert and a bunch of other people, including in a prison.
It's just like a warehouse.
How many times is Christopher Lambert
shooting each other to like a fucking Brazilian soundtrack, like a fucking Conga.
You don't like that movie.
It's a terrible fucking movie. Albert Pyun has never
that's
made
a
fucking good
pleasure,
movie.
I would say. I don't think it's
yeah,
a great
that's
movie.
True.
I like the movie, but I don't think it's a great movie.
I don't think it's a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but those are the kind of movies that I like. I like
right.
the, and we've talked about this earlier, with the teen movies. I don't necessarily like teen movies. I like those intersecting storyline kind of movies like that and Go. And
sure. I like teen movies like Barely Legal Volume 5 and Barely Legal Volume 6.
Can't Hardly Wait, where you have all these different
Can't Hardly Wait blows.
Well, I love it.
I know that's.
I would like an actual, all extreme versions aside, I actually am very interested to hear what you liked about Last Days.
Yes.
Please. Again, like I said, all extreme
explain
opinions
to my
aside. Not trying to convince me or.
It doesn't matter.
We're not, he's not saying you're.
I haven't seen it yet. I bought it, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Last Days yet. But I've seen
Last Days.
I own it. I own Last Days, but
well,
I
haven't seen it. You just said
I haven't had
okay,
the
elephant,
time to
then.
Myself to just absorb it.
Okay,
I have
about,
to be by
how
myself,
how about,
pantsless,
how about,
watching.
How about Elephant?
Elephant. What
elephant, did you,
I loved.
I know, but
what
did you like?
Because it didn't have It didn't preach you. It didn't preach to you like, oh, school violence is awful.
So it's you liked like, it for what it didn't do.
Here's a situation. Did it a school shooting. It follows these characters, okay? You form your own opinion. And that's awesome. Because, like, that was his goal, was to, like, we're watching something that's an approximation of what happened in our history. And he's not making any judgment on it whatsoever. Except for the whole gay shower
thing. So you're liking it for what he didn't do.
But that's what he did do. That was his intent. And he said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you can define what you do by what you
yeah,
leaving
like,
out.
By what you're not showing is also your intent. You know what I'm saying?
But if you're not communicating, at that point, what are you communicating? Isn't the point of any type of artistic venture to communicate something?
If you watch a movie passively versus actively.
I mean, I can do that.
If
I
you watch that movie like, oh, I hope there's, like, teenagers being shot in the face, this would be a great movie. And I hope there's elephants in the school.
Well, no, but I mean, there's. I mean, why not do a documentary at that point?
Well, here's the thing.
If you're just trying to make people make up their own opinion about it, show them something and let them make
right,
up
but
their
documentaries
opinion.
Are
why
also
do it as supposedly a drama?
Why not stretch fiction
but,
to the documentary realm of letting...
Well, they did. It's called Bowling for Columbine. Stretch? It's called Bowling for Columbine.
Well,
there's
that's
your documentary
saying.
About
I know,
it.
But what I'm saying is, what is he trying to accomplish with that piece
He's
of
trying
work?
To just show, like... To me, it was very effective, his technique for it. So if you have your Netflix cues open, people, Elephant. Tabor recommends it.
I am very curious. Okay. When you finally do get around to watching Last Days, I will be very curious to hear your thoughts on
that. Okay, I'm curious.
In my opinion, watching that, I was obvious. Well, because obviously
did you have Kurt Cobain in mind when you watched it?
You have to. Oh. It is.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I mean,
right,
there's no possible because like it was supposed to be a Kurt Cobain movie. So you have to have that in your
okay,
mind.
Okay, well, I'll watch it and I'll give
yeah,
you my
but when, yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Because for me, like,
I
when
I
finished
scene
that...
Because I wanted to complete the trilogy of his minimalist Telling You Nothing trilogy. And I just knew I would like it. Like,
what's
I,
the other one? Jerry?
Jerry. It's Matt Damon about? And Casey Affleck. Their car breaks down in the middle of, like, the desert. They start walking and they get lost and they're just lost in the desert.
Yeah.
And if you don't like shoes, an elephant, like shoes for 15 minutes, yeah, how about walking for 20 minutes without saying a word?
Nice.
But
well, what is the point of that?
It's just
to do it?
You're dragged down into their situation. There's a scene where, like, Casey Affleck climbs up onto this rock to see what's going on, but then he can't get back down. So they're just, like, talking, like, just jump down. So it's, like, for 15 minutes, you're talking about trying to talk him to jump down. And it's just...
So when he finally jumps down,
you're like, oh, he's going to jump. It's going to happen. And then you just have to create your own thing in your head. But it's, like, that's kind of,
well,
like...
Why do I need a movie to do that?
That's kind of like... It's like a book, too. It's, like, it's interpreted. Well, when you're reading a book, like, everybody is going to imagine what the main character of a book looks like differently.
Sure.
You know, everyone's imagining that. So, like, when you watch the movie,
visual,
you're going to interpret that, like, okay,
media.
He's trying to get me to go in a certain direction with this. And, like, I don't know. I thought it was just – it built
– I mean, I can –
in the context of the movie.
I mean, personally, like I said, Elephant and Last Days.
Last Days, wow.
Okay.
I literally wanted to like,
what's that?
I'm going to rent them
yeah,
right away.
Yeah.
If you're not entertained, then you're not – then you're not
the point of film is not always entertainment.
No, yeah.
Well, depending on who you are. I mean, the point of the filmmaker might not be to entertain you.
Okay, so
yeah,
okay. So you go to Blockbuster, Scotty. You go to mm-hmm. Blockbuster, and you see Last Days. What prompted you to rent that?
Oh, I owned it. I bought it.
Oh, that's right, because like Scotty earlier, not on air, but at the mm-hmm. bar, said that he buys things sight unseen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what happens when you see a movie, you bought sight unseen, watch the movie, mm-hmm. hate it, what do you do?
I go sell it.
Okay. And you get how many dollars for that? Three?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's all
right
off.
Scotty's made of cash.
No, I mean, like we'll take Last Days as a perfect example.
Okay.
Because obviously you knew it was intended to be a Kurt Cobain story.
Right, right.
The rights between all the rights of it, and it just ended up being the Kurt Cobain story without
official.
Yeah, without any of the official names or situations, but pretty much all the kind of details that you've heard about the last day.
Inspired
of
by. Yeah.
Right. So being a person that was in high school during that time, being around for him committing suicide and being kind of connected to that, you think, wow, this is interesting to me because I'd like to see somebody's perspective on telling this dramatic tale. And I guess maybe I just did not expect as I was watching it, I quickly realized that this is not a dramatic piece of fiction. This is literally like somebody, like they thought, well, what if we just, I mean, because we all realize that a human day is fairly boring. You know, it is, I mean...
Average day is pretty
average
mundane.
Average day is pretty mundane. Now we enjoyed ourselves.
This particular 24 hours.
We enjoyed ourselves, but, I mean, if somebody were to film us, if you ever even, like, on a dramatic show, like let's say Big Brother, you watch the show where they're filming you.
They
when they show the thing at night, it's you like, oh, this is very boring because people are just sitting around. Well, Last Days is a movie where they literally take a camera and follow a guy that barely speaks to anybody and just watch him walk around... a house and out into the woods for 2 hours.
I'm getting this movie.
And so when you go into a when you go into a movie thinking, oh, I felt the same way about Elephant, where they're pulling me in with this big dramatic thing that happened.
Yeah, he selects an event in
that
in real life
you,
that
yeah,
meant right. you know meant right. you know and then does nothing with it.
Okay, so he's forcing a personal attachment out of his audience members.
Well, it's like he's smart with
exactly.
he knows what
well, he's trying to.
Matter.
But
spending
by
the day,
the,
you're spending but, this time with this character.
But in the end of both of those films, nothing is said from them.
Nothing.
Well, no.
For me too.
It's obviously like, all just a matter of.
Well, certainly, yeah. I can look at it somewhat objectively.
Kind of,
I'm not
anybody liking anything to me is always a matter of
obviously, but you and I know, and Dave knows, as visual artists, mm-hmm. there are aesthetic rules to what I mean. You can quantify something as, yeah, they knew what they were doing when they did this.
Yes,
whether or not you like it,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Salvador Dali.
Right.
Fantastic artist.
Sure.
I can't look at his paintings without getting sick, though.
But he knows exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
right.
meticulous, fantastic
yeah.
artist, but I can't stand his artwork.
Right. Okay.
For me, Last Days fell within that, where I almost felt, and again, this is just in my opinion, I feel like what you're saying, there are a certain set of rules.
Yeah.
Now, these rules can be bent and broken to a degree, but yeah. the rules have to be there in the first place yeah. to be broken. And for me, those were examples of movies where... The ideal of storytelling, all those rules weren't even set there to be broken in the first place because right. I didn't feel like I was told any sort of story. I felt like I was slightly given a backseat view to news footage that was a little mm-hmm. better.
See, this is what,
that was
it,
a little
these,
better filmed.
What you're saying is actually wanting me to go see
exactly.
this movie because I'm
like,
tired of movies that have
you don't
like
need a story.
An agenda.
I personally need a story.
Okay, well, if you want a movie with a story, that's fine.
Yeah, no,
not every
I'm
movie needs to tell.
I don't necessarily
yeah. talking about Gus.
Okay,
I don't
well,
necessarily need a story, but
I have watched literally what are called. Obviously, you guys haven't seen endurance films. Because I used to have to sit there for endurance films. And the reason they call them endurance films is because they're testing your endurance as an audience member
right.
to sit there and not blow your brains out.
We've talked
like,
about
and that's
one
like,
on our show.
Like yeah,
Andy Warhol.
Why would anyone sit through?
And what's the
like
erection
that?
Movie?
Because it's not
Yoko
about
ono?
Being entertained. It's about trying to push yourself to a certain point.
Didn't Yoko Ono
and
John Lennon make
commit
you know,
your thoughts to a certain point?
It's like 3 hours of an erection?
Yeah, it's not about entertainment. It's about
a rental. That's a Netflix
because art's not necessarily about entertainment. It's about
exactly
you know trying to excite different thoughts.
Right.
Well, the only thoughts I got from that film is I'd want to fucking beat Gus Van Sant with a baseball bat.
See,
okay.
that would be a hate crime
because he's gay.
Well, I don't care. If he's gay. It has nothing to do with gay. He's a bad filmmaker.
Is
the reason I want to
beat him up because he doesn't like his movies. That's perfectly valid.
But have you seen? Did you like Good Will Hunting? Did you like Finding Forrester? Did you like Drugstore Cowboy? Did you like?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, and then he did the Psycho remake, which I'm like,
was awesome. I hated that.
Everybody, okay, you hate it, but I appreciated what he was trying to do. It's like it's literally a remake.
It
unlike
really
this other
is.
Bullshit reimagination.
Don't you think that
the
is
point?
The wire?
I know what the
that is like.
What's
the
point?
It's in color.
You look,
and
you look
in
under in the dictionary.
It's got new movie
under,
stars in it.
You look in the dictionary under missing the point, and the Psycho remake is there.
Really?
Yes, it misses the point of everything that made the first movie good.
I didn't buy this year's dictionary yet, so I'll have
well,
to wait
it
to
is.
See that.
Maybe
he's not a bad filmmaker, he's a bad film writer. he didn't write Good Will Hunting. He didn't write, you know, and the movies that he's made
They're
solely on his own, his own artistic
and To Die For,
vision,
To Die For, Nicole Kidman,
you know.
Fucking brilliant
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, that was good.
Very
good
underrated
Will Hunting,
movie.
I didn't
find
it to
I thought the first half was good.
I didn't. I thought there was not, of course, that I think was the writing, because in Good Will Hunting, everybody was talking about how great this movie is and how, you know, it's like these two young guys wrote it and all that kind of garbage. Mm-hmm. And then, Robin Williams. Woo!
A tolerable Robin Williams.
But so I see the movie and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I've seen this movie about a dozen times before, except it was shorter and didn't have all these scenes that
you
were dragged out
books,
too long.
Right?
Yeah. So I mean, I understand where you're, like, I can't really defend, like, David Lynch, Gus Van Sant, other directors of that ilk, John Waters or something like that. It's an acquired taste. It's like you have to be in a,
I really thought this was going to end up being Son-in-Law.
That's what I'm trying to fuck you in the face.
No. I have a guilty pleasure.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to redirect this back to, like, things we like. Things we like that we can criticize you for.
What is your guilty pleasure?
White Men Can't Jump.
Great movie! That's not a guilty pleasure. Great. Bob Hoskins, people love it. Yeah,
I love that
Shelton.
Movie.
Yeah, it was successful on all levels.
Okay. Well, I didn't.
Everybody liked it.
Woody Harrelson has never been more engaging.
See, with me, it's just like I've watched that movie.
He talks like a movie reviewer.
Dozens and dozens of times.
It's like he only learned English.
And I just go, why do I love this movie so much? So that's why I consider it a guilty pleasure. Because I literally go, why do I love this movie?
I'll have a super guilty pleasure. Along your lines.
Why I love it.
Along your lines, but... But this might be a little bit more on the guilty pleasure side. The Great White Hype.
That's a guilty pleasure.
But I like it. Same, not actually same writer. Ron Shelton wrote it, but Reginald Hudlin.
It is so funny. I love like Jamie Foxx.
It's a good concept, but
yeah,
I did not possibly. You know what? The movie Digstown came out like right around.
Oh yeah,
that's a better movie than Great White Hype.
I agree with that.
Better movie.
Yeah, I like Digstown.
Yeah, Digstown's a better movie. Directed by
Louis Gossett Jr. and
the director of Fletch. He's dead now. What the fuck's his name?
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
I love Fletch.
I love those movies.
Fletch one. Yeah.
I hate it when they cut out all the basketball scenes on TV.
Little guy.
Same director. Right when you said guilty pleasure, this popped up.
We can't hear you.
Hey, put his... There we go. Introduce yourself first. I don't think you've...
My name is Hank.
Hank looks like Shia LaBeouf. Go ahead.
Okay, so right when you said guilty pleasure, this immediately popped into my head. I was in about 7th grade when I saw it.
So last year.
This is going to make us all feel very old, yeah. So be prepared.
LL Cool J, Rollerball.
Wow.
That's a guilty pleasure.
Wow. That's absolutely guilty pleasure. I thought that's a guy I want to murder.
I saw it with four friends, and we're walking out of the movie theater, and they're just cursing. They hated it so much. I'm like, I liked it.
Out of all of us, I think his is the most textbook guilty pleasure.
That is the definition.
There is a movie that everybody hates, but you enjoy. Way to go. Countdown, Hank. Bring it forward. Here's my problem. First of all, fun fact, director of Rollerball was... Die Hard guy, John Tiernan, John McTiernan. He's just going to prison for 6 months.
I like Die Hard 3, and it seems to be that everybody else hates
it. No, Die Hard 3 is good.
I love it.
Die Hard 3 is good.
When you always thought the fact that it's not set in a building or a confined space.
Well, for me, Die Hard 3 was me and my friends always loved it, and lately, and since the last one came out, all of a sudden I've been seeing all these references to Die Hard 3 as being bad, and all of a sudden I'm confused. Like
it's
happening.
The weakest of the.
I see references to Die Hard 2 being bad, but I rewatch them like, this movie fucking kicks balls.
If I had to pick, I love them all, but if I had to pick a weakest one, I'd put Die Hard 2 as my least favorite, but I love it. But you gotta remember, I'm saying that I love them all. But if I had to
pick... My biggest problem, and I think I talked to you about this before, my only problem with Die Hard 3 really was on a personal level, because I like the character of John McClane so much, and they put him in such a situation in the beginning of that film where he's just, you know...
See, I loved it.
It bothered me.
For me, I was so tired
that he was
just like. I was so tired of seeing the action hero of that. Like, for me, there was so many action heroes of that time that were all like the flawless hero. Yeah.
And right.
He bleeds.
So even before,
Casey Ryback.
Well, and the weird thing is, if you notice the steps in the movies, the first one, there's almost. The divorce, they're having marital problems. The second one, and then the third, it was like a nice.
It
was a nice downwards.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that like one of my favorite action movies of all time with him as that character kind of again.
Last Boy Scout. I got your back on
that movie. I love that movie. Maybe that's my guilty pleasure.
Badass, man.
Oh, it is badass. Awesome
only movie. Because Billy Blank shoots himself in the head in the beginning.
It is bad.
It's like something I wish he would do this. Oh, it's in a movie. I can fantasize.
You're the only person that does not need to be that close to the movie.
Okay, I'll stand back.
It's amazing. I'm just seeing red every time you say it.
Last Boy Scout is good because it's directed, written by Shane Black. And Shane Black wrote Lethal Weapon 1.
I love Lethal Weapon.
He wrote Last Boy Scout. Long Kiss Goodnight. Apparently, Long Kiss Goodnight.
I loved Long Kiss Goodnight.
That's a guilty pleasure, apparently.
I love that movie.
But Long Kiss Goodnight.
Sam Jackson had
like,
one of the all time best lines in that movie when he started singing. Like, he'd sing to where he'd remember stuff.
Oh, right.
And his wallet, No, that was a different one, but he said something.
I got my wallet. Yeah, that's his movie.
But he was like, he was doing his little blues song to like, so, put my keys on the dresser, got my wallet on the chair.
That's a great movie. That was like Rennie Harlan's last good movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that
movie. Speaking of Die Hard 2, Rennie Harlan directed that.
I like that other movie with her where she's the pirate.
Cutthroat Island.
Cutthroat Island. That's a guilty pleasure because that sunk a studio.
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
$90 million budget. It made $10 million with you.
Yep,
sunk Carico Pictures. But back, you know, and Shane Black.
Yeah, Carico was going to be the original studio that they were going to shop Spider-Man to because Jim Cameron was supposed to be doing
that. Oh, yeah.
This is way, way back in the day.
Terminator 2. Yeah. Back to Shane Black. I mean, Shane Black. So you like Last Boy Scout.
Sure.
He wrote Lethal Weapon 1.
Yes.
He wrote Long Kiss Goodnight, which is, like, at the time, like, the biggest selling script at the time, because apparently I want to read the screenplay to that. I mean, because, like, the movie's fun and all, but, it like, why would it sell for, like, $2-3 million? Yeah. And then he wrote and directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I don't know if
which is phenomenal.
It's an amazing movie. Have you seen it? Did you buy it sight unseen?
No.
Fantastic.
Buy it.
Oh, my God. It's really a phenomenal. For that movie, I think, had a budget of $10 million. And it looks just as good. It's a phenomenal movie. Just clever as all hell. Funny-ass shit, like a dog eating a finger out.
It pisses me off, though.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.? Because I don't want to like him, but I can't help but like him.
He is a pompous ass. You feel like he's... What's that?
Love Chaplin.
Chaplin. Yeah.
No, Downey Jr.
I always like biopics. A biopic to me is always like...
Easy.
Nah, I like it.
Like Biodome.
I don't know.
Would actually be
I don't
want to
like
I actually enjoyed the first
That's
one.
That's what I thought Biodome. Everybody was going to say is Biodome. Like that.
Armageddon is the ultimate.
Oh, yeah, that's a good... No,
I love Armageddon.
I feel bad about liking that movie as much as I do.
I don't feel bad, but I know that it's bad.
Oh, it's... Yeah, well, that's...
I might have seen it 80 times.
It's hard to have a $200 million grossing guilty pleasure. That's my problem.
Well, we all know. I mean,
well, that's why. I mean,
especially doing what I do. You know that just because something makes money does not
mean
a thing.
That's why. I mean, I was gonna say any of the first three Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
because I mean, I will watch them over and over again. But they're totally everybody hates.
Those are good guilty pleasures because
first volume,
not the first ones. No, of course not.
I enjoy this movie called Star Wars. I don't know if anyone enjoys it.
We're talking like
episodes five, 1, 2, and 3.
Two and three didn't bother me all that much that people went crazy about.
Two was terrible too.
See, I enjoyed two.
Two is really terrible.
I reserved
six times.
I saw it.
We went
in the theater.
You know, I didn't even see the third one. I've seen parts of it. Yeah.
That's the best of the three.
It's the best of the three, but it's not saying a lot at all.
This is the best.
It's the more enjoyable, but that's like, that was the most enjoyable toe clipping I've had. You know, it's that kind of thing.
You know what?
He's a growing boy.
I heard this man on the crank. I heard you on the Crankcast, and I was so glad because we're doing it this month. But I was so glad to hear somebody else give props to Open Range.
No, Open Range is just
awesome.
Phenomenal. Like, I always say, like, my 310 to Yuma review, perhaps. Like, I'm always like, I don't like Westerns. But when I think of Westerns, I think of old movies. Like I said, like, when people get shot, they grab their chest and fall into a bale of hay.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's, like, very fake looking. But, like, real Westerns should be violent and just fucking gritty and brutal.
Yeah.
And Open Range was that way.
I felt that gunfight at the end of Open Range.
That gunfight is one of the best gunfights. It's like, he's planning ahead. It's like a chess game. It's like, I'm going to hide this gun here because I'm going to run out of bullets. I'm going to hide this here. It was phenomenal.
Well, I love how, I mean, it really was that thing where it's like, they were, like, weirdly close. The camera did not move quickly.
Right.
Everything felt real. Like, because in a lot of action movies, all of a sudden, everybody moves at superhuman speeds during action moments. When this one just felt like...
It's like, pow.
Oh, God, I'm kind of scared. Like, you can almost feel everybody's fear. Like, I can't really
Nobody
dodge
really
a bullet,
wants.
But I can kind of...
What's the Western that has Dwight Yoakam in it as the sheriff?
Dwight Yoakam.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that the one with Vince Vaughn and all this stuff? Dwight Yoakam directed?
No, Dwight Yoakam's the main character.
Wow.
I can't even remember.
There's South of Heaven, West of Hell, which is he directed, which he might have
been in. That might have been
He directed
it's
that
great.
Movie.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I think that might be the one. It's great because they'll have gunfights, right? It's not like two people stand in the middle of the street and they get ready to
Right,
draw
and they
their
have
gun.
The camera behind,
but no,
like.
It's just two guys running at each other who just whip out their guns and just start shooting.
And they can't hit the broadside of a damn barn because both the guys are drunk off their ass, you know, and stuff like that. And so they'll shoot him, and the guy knocks his ear off or something like that. And
I think that's South of West. I got a Western guilty pleasure. That was good.
I love Young Guns.
God damn.
Quicken the Dead.
I like Young Guns. Ooh, that is a guilty pleasure. I've seen Young Guns 2 maybe like 100 times.
I'm right there with you.
Young Guns 2 is good just because of the Bon Jovi score, man. I got to tell you. I got to tell you.
I'm right there with you. What about, have you guys, this isn't a Western, but have you guys seen Bait?
I've seen Bait.
I haven't seen it. That's something for me. Not a lot of people have seen it.
Not a terrible movie. I find Jamie Foxx
to be hilarious in it.
I thought it was Jamie Foxx trying to be serious in it. Like at the time, Jamie Foxx was a comedian.
But that's why I found it funny.
Him in it. And the funny thing about that movie is the dude from... Next Friday. No, from Green Mile, like the villain.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing a John Malkovich impression in the movie.
Sure.
If you watch it, like, he's doing a John Malkovich impression.
Sure.
So, Antoine Fuqua went on to do Training Day and King Arthur.
Which I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah. Training Day is a great movie.
I like Training Day and King Arthur.
I did, too.
What did you think of Being John Malkovich?
Being John Malkovich is probably one of the best movies of all time. All things Spike Jonze or written by... Charlie Kaufman, thank you.
I love adaptations.
Bud Light prevented me from knowing so.
Adaptation's one of my favorite
adaptation,
films ever.
Probably one of the most
I've
genius
watched that
films. Yep.
50 times.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
Eternal Sunshine? But see, that makes like sense that. On how a couple movies, it might be visually different, storyline's different, just try to make you feel something.
Yeah.
Where people that might not like...
Being John Malkovich fell so low on my... After I watched that, my brain almost told me it didn't exist anymore.
How you might not like Elephant or whatever something.
Does that mean you liked it?
No.
You hated Being John Malkovich. When I was hanging out with Stuart Gordon 7 years ago, I went to we went to an effects house because he was like trying to get... he's working on a movie. He's trying to like find the effects house. So we went to the one they'd worked on Being John Malkovich. They had like this whole wall full of Malkovich heads. Because for the Malkovich scene where it's just like everybody is about...
I like it now.
So they took... mission accomplished.
We've actually talked out this hour.
Oh, wow, that was pretty good.
We're almost done.
Wow.
Anyway, we're done here.
It says 45 minutes.
What do you mean?
46 minutes.
Eternal Sunshine. I like those.
Let me see here.
Intro's a bumper.
Frank, it's 46 minutes equal an hour.
Adaptation was a movie that I under... Like, Adaptation was a little different. Like, I understand why people like Adaptation. I necessarily didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying everybody should love that film.
Yeah, no, it's one of those movies that...
I can understand why somebody would hate it or whatever. I just personally...
Yeah, my tastes were like, I don't like it at all, but I don't... I understand why other... Like, Being John Malkovich was a movie that... I was very, very confused on what it is that people love about this movie.
That's because you're stupid. Okay. Let's right now.
Mm-hmm.